Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Bibles in just a moment. Praise the Lord. It feels good to worship God, doesn't it? And I have a feeling that there aren't very many churches left that are still singing those songs, but I like them, and I see no need to modernize. You know, all these churches, they say, we've got to modernize so that we'll be relevant. Relevant to what? There are some things you probably shouldn't be relevant to. Anyway, we're old-fashioned here, always have been, always will. Praise God. We are going to open our Bibles. Oh, and I do want to mention, there's going to be a grill out next week here. And you can call it a grill out or a picnic, whatever you want to do. We're going to put some tables outside, but we're also going to have tables inside. So if you'd rather sit inside and eat, that's fine. If you want to sit outside and eat, that's fine too. We will give everyone an option there. I know it's been hot, and I know we have air conditioning in here, and well, some people like eating outside, and if that's your preference, go right ahead. But praise God, we're hoping to have a wonderful time next week. And we're going to be opening our Bibles to Psalm 4 to begin with. Psalm 4. I'm going to call this message today, Peace and Safety. Peace and Safety. And you know, peace and safety are two things that everyone seems to want in this world, but very few people are able to find it. And we live in a world where they set up these organizations like the United Nations, where they claim to their goal was to establish lasting peace, but ever since the United Nations came along, there's been more wars than ever. And if you read the news nowadays, they talk about all of these wars and rumors of wars and potential wars. And right now there's that big conflict with Iran. And from the sound of it, you know, who knows? This country could go to war with Iran. It's possible. And yet we see, you know, since the United Nations came along, there's more and more wars all the time. And this has really been a problem. This was a problem even way back in the days when the Bible was written. People wanted peace and safety, but there was a lot of war. There's always been a lot of war, and peace and safety are two things that could be very hard to come by. But we're going to see today how we can have peace and safety, even though we live in a world today that has very little of either. Because we serve a God who can give us both peace and safety. We're going to begin in Psalm 4 in just a moment, but we do need to pray one more time, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning. Thank Thee for Thy goodness. We thank Thee for this blessed book that Thou hast given us, and we thank Thee for Thy promise of peace and for Thy promise of safety. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help us, that Thou would inspire us to draw nigh to Thee, to be close to Thee, to trust Thee more and more as we read Thy precious word today. We pray, O God, that Thou would do a work in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls, Lord. We pray that Thy blessing would be here. We pray that Thy anointing would be here. We pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be poured out upon each and every one of us. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness, any hindering power that would come against us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would be overall that we do here today. And we know, O God, that Thou art sovereign. Let Thy blessing be here, we pray this day. And we bind and we break any force of darkness, God, that would try to come against us. We ask, O God, that Thou would take control and lead us and give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, I had an interesting week. You know, we have the newsletters, by the way, the July newsletters. They are here, and they've been mailed. I finished that last Monday, which happened to be the day before I would leave to go down to South Carolina to pick up my wife, who had been down there for 3 weeks. And I had to get up at 4 in the morning on Tuesday, and my sister gave me a ride to the Madison Airport. And really, the air travel went absolutely fine. Going through security wasn't very fun because they're body scanner was malfunctioning, or at least it didn't work on me. So he said, well, the guy told me, the security guard, or the TSA officer, I guess, he told me, well, I'm going to have to do a pat-down, and he explained what he was going to do, and it was unpleasant, but thankfully I got through that and made it to my gate, and the flight was on time. The flight was very smooth, and I got to Chicago, and just, I think it was a 28-minute flight. Isn't that something? You can get from Madison to Chicago in 28 minutes. And then I had another flight from Chicago to Greenville, South Carolina, and that also went very well, and I was just so excited because the plane was full. It was very full, but no one sat next to me, so that excited me because that gave me a little more room, a little more breathing room. It was a little less awkward, and thank God that flight went very smoothly as well. There were no problems whatsoever. I got to Greenville, South Carolina on time, and that only took about an hour and 50 minutes, so it was less than 2 hours. Now, I'm used to driving down there, and I'm used to that being a 16-hour trip, so flying there almost felt like cheating. It went by so quickly. But I tell you what, when I was up there in the clouds and when I was on those planes, there was never a moment when I felt unsafe. I felt actually very peaceful, and I looked out the window and was able to look down at the clouds, which is a weird feeling, but it's also a beautiful thing. And you look down at the ground and you see everything so small. It's really interesting to do that. I enjoyed it a lot. And all of the flights, both of them, they went perfectly, so I'm very thankful for that. The Lord got me to my destination, and then I saw my wife again after 3 weeks, and I was glad for that too. And that night we started our drive home, and we drove about an hour that day and stayed in a hotel. And then the next day we drove for 7 or 8 hours, something like that, and eventually got to Indiana. But I tell you what, it's interesting. Some people are so afraid of flying, and yet I felt perfectly safe on those planes. I'll tell you what is a little scary, the roads. You know, there's some areas where there's a lot of traffic, and you know, that sounds a little tense, but in some areas it wasn't so much the traffic, it's just that the roads were so narrow. We were driving along in Kentucky, and there was a very narrow road that we were driving on. Leah was driving at the time, and you know, most of the time there wasn't any traffic coming the other way, but just at that moment, as we came across this dip, there was a big truck there, and as we hit that dip, the car started to skid, and it almost felt like we were going to flip over or hit that truck, and who knows if we would have survived that, but thankfully we were able to get by, and we weren't hurt, and the car wasn't hurt, but that was a tense moment. And you know, when you're driving along on a trip that long, you find a lot of reminders that we live in a world that is very, very unsafe. In fact, I think most likely the highways in this country are probably less safe than actually flying. But we were driving along the next day. This would have been on Thursday. And we were just outside of Indianapolis in Indiana. And Leah noticed that there was some smoke billowing up into the sky. And we thought, well, that's weird. I hope that's supposed to be there. It wasn't. We got a little closer and we realized a car was on fire. It was engulfed in flames. And that was quite a scary thing to see, too. You see all these things and you realize how unsafe this world is. And it is a marvel that we get up each day and we get on those roads and the Lord helps His people. I can't help but think of all the times that He has helped me. There are so many times I almost died. I remember there was a time, this was many years ago now, this was probably 10 years ago, and I was driving along, and I was in the left lane, and there was a big semi, and he decided he was going to get over to the left lane that I was in. I don't think he saw me, so he started to come over, and I just barely made it past him at the last second. I'd say it was a split second. He was about to pummel me, and I remember at that moment I thought, well, this is it. I'm about to die, but amazingly, the Lord got me through, and there were other times, too. I remember this one time I had a green light downtown. I was about to go straight at the Spring Street and Front Street intersection, and at the very last second, I saw a car barreling down the road. It was probably going about 50 miles an hour in a 25, and it blew a red light and would have hit me if I had gone. But thankfully, the Lord opened my vision so that I didn't go. I saw that car coming, and we didn't die that day. It's really amazing when we start thinking about all the times you almost died, and I can't help but think of my sister Jane in that car accident. She wasn't even conscious at the time. She had blacked out. It's a marvel that she survived that accident, and I'm so thankful for that. And Carla, Carla Kurt, her accident there, she was able to get up and walk away from that. It's amazing how God helps His people. He really does keep us safe. And the scriptures tell us that He has angels. And those angels, part of their job, angels are ministering spirits. And part of their job is to watch over God's people. That's not some myth or something that they only have in books or movies. That's true. That's very much true. There are angels, and they do watch over God's people. Now, we live in a world where we need God's peace, and we need His safety, because this world is a dangerous place. There's so many things that could go wrong. There's so much peril in this world. And yet we serve a God who keeps His people safe. Let's look at Psalm 4 to begin with here today. Verse 1 tells us, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" Selah. Leasing is another word for a falsehood or a lie, an untruth. In case you were wondering what leasing means. But these are things that people do. They turn glory into shame, they love vanity, and they lie. Verse 3, But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Isn't that a wonderful thought that God has set His people aside for Himself? And that is what the word holy means, to be set apart. God takes us and He cleans us up. He makes us over. He makes us new. And then we belong to Him. We are reserved to Him. We are set apart for Him. And when we are in distress, when we are in trouble, and that's something we've all experienced at one time or another, He hears our cries. He hears when you call Him. Verse 4, stand in awe. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. You know, one of the problems with so many people in this world today, even professing Christians, is that they do not stand in awe of God anymore. There are so many people, they say they're Christians, but they treat God like He's some sort of magic genie just there to grant their requests. There's no respect or honor. And these people, the things they say about Jesus sometimes, you know, they've come up with all of these ridiculous things. I've heard people say, well, Jesus was a hippie, or Jesus was a communist, or Jesus was a liberal. I've heard that one too. No, none of those things are true. And I tell you what, Jesus told us more about hell than anyone else. And we would not have the understanding of hell that we do have without the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is very loving. He is compassionate. He helped a lot of people, and he still helps his people today. But make no mistake about it, when he comes back, he's coming to judge. And no one is going to escape that judgment. But thankfully, if we've repented of our sins and we stand before the Lord Jesus, we will not be charged with those sins. They will be washed in his blood. They will be gone. He won't even see them. They will not be in that book of remembrance, that book of life. Praise God. But we should stand in awe of him. We should have the greatest, most utmost respect for God, because he is the creator of this universe. He made us. Without him, we are nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. But he is the one who is able to take us and turn us into something good. And we owe him everything for that. So we should be in great awe of our God. There is none greater. There are no competing gods. He has no competition. You know, some of these religions, and this was very true in these Old Testament times and even in the New Testament times, these religions, they'd have competing gods. And there's always a struggle. You know, one god competing with another god. There's always a struggle for supremacy. But there's no struggle for supremacy with our God, because he is the greatest being in the universe and there are no other gods. Praise the Lord. So we should certainly stand in awe of him. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. And that's important too. Sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. It's a wonderful thing to just think about God. That's something you can even do in bed as you're falling asleep. Think about the Lord. Think about how amazing he is, how awesome he is. You can do that. Praise the Lord. And you should do that. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now, we don't offer animal sacrifices, but we do offer sacrifices of praise and worship. And we need to do that in righteousness. Praise God. We need to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And, importantly, we need to put our trust in the Lord. There are so many things in this world that threaten us every day. So many things that could go wrong. And the fact that we've made it this far is a miracle. But we know that the proper thing to do, the right thing to do, is always to trust the Lord. Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And we need that too, don't we? We need that light. For we know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he puts his light in us. He gives us his spirit. That's why he looked at his disciples and he said, ye are the light of the world, because he gives us his light. We reflect his light. And when he does that, we have eyes to see. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Aren't you glad and aren't you happy that the Lord puts gladness in your heart, gives you that joy unspeakable and full of glory? Verse 8 tells us, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You see, that's where you get peace and safety. People in this world, they look for that elusive peace. And people become distraught at all of the horrible, wretched things that happen. And they say, oh, a shooting happens and they say, oh, we have to ban all the guns, take all the guns away. That's not going to bring peace and safety. And I can't help but wonder sometimes in these ancient times of Israel, if they ever said, we have to ban all the swords, confiscate all the swords. I'm sure it happened. And in fact, I know that the Philistines actually did that to Israel. There was a time when the Israelites needed to fight the Philistines, and they didn't have many weapons, so they just found whatever sharp implements they could use. But yeah, there was a weapons ban there, and you know, these weapons bans aren't going to bring peace, and they aren't going to bring safety, because there's only one who can do that, and that is our God. But when you trust in the Lord, when you fully trust in God, you can even sleep at night. You can lay down your head on your pillow at night. You can go to sleep thinking about the awesomeness of the Lord, and He will put His peace in your heart, and you will feel safe. They're looking for peace and safety in this world. Don't look in the wrong place. There's one who can give you both. Praise God. Let's look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and we're going to begin with verse 1. And this psalm should be an encouragement to everyone who hears it. If you're ever feeling down, read this psalm. It'll lift your spirits. Praise God. Psalm 91, verse 1 tells us, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I like that verse already. God has a secret place, a hiding place for His people. You know, there are a lot of problems in this world. There are a lot of dangers. And yet, He has a special place for us where we can go to be with Him in spirit. And it's as if we're not even really in the world anymore, at least not in spirit. We may have our feet physically on the ground, but we get to be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus when we are in the spirit with Him. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be hidden in the Lord, to go to that secret place. And when you do that, He will give you His peace. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Yes, He is a refuge for us. He is a fortress for us. Where do we turn when we're in trouble? To the Lord. That's always the right thing to do, always the proper thing. Put your trust in Him. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And a fowler is a trapper, or a bait layer, in case you were wondering, and from the noisome pestilence. When you think about all the pestilence we have in the world today, we certainly need protection from that, don't we? The Lord knows how to protect His people. He knows how to keep us safe, even from the snares of this life and from the pestilences of this world. Verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We need His truth so very much. In His truth we find protection. Protection from what? Protection from the lies in this world. Protection from the enemy. Protection from the father of lies. That's how you combat the father of lies, with the truth. And we know that Jesus Christ is the truth, while the devil is the father of lies. Verse 5, Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Sometimes people get those night terrors. But if you're trusting in the Lord, if you're resting in Him, He will give you His peace. And He will make you feel safe, and you don't have to have that terror in your heart. We can be at peace with the Lord because we know that He has kept us, that He has sustained us for so long, and He has promised to do so until our very last day on this earth. And after that, well, you will have no more worries whatsoever if you are with the Lord. And that's the ultimate peace. Praise God. We don't have to have those terrors in the night. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. You think about all these close calls, all of these destructive things in this world, and I'm sure we've all had our close calls. Really, it is a marvel that we're all still here, isn't it? But you see all of these bad things happening, and yet God sets us apart and protects us from it. He has done that time and time again. I know He has. I wouldn't still be here today if He hadn't. Praise God. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. The wicked get a reward too, but it's not a good one. And we're going to see that as we continue in this psalm. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yes, God does have angels, and they do watch over God's people. They lift us up. Who knows how many times they saved us from danger at the Lord's command. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. You see, that's what God can do for you. He can give you peace and He can give you safety. But what about those who rebel against the Lord? What about those who refuse to obey? What about those who find themselves in trouble and peril over and over again because they put themselves in foolish situations? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 1, which tells us, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Those are all good things when the Lord gives them to you. And yes, discretion is good too. A lot of people don't have that anymore. But we need to know when to open our mouths, when to close our mouths, what to say, when to say it. And we need God's wisdom to know. And that's one of the functions of the Holy Ghost, by the way. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. Not only that, our comforter. The Holy Ghost is so many things to us. But if you want wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, if you want knowledge and discretion, you can have all of those things from the Lord. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's what a wise person would do. But some people, they get so proud of themselves. I'm not going to listen. I don't want to be instructed. I don't need any instruction. I know what I'm doing. Famous last words, right? I know what I'm doing. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want wisdom and knowledge, if you want to learn, the best thing you can do, first and foremost, is fear the Lord. Have respect for God. Stand in awe of Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and change about thy neck. And we all need grace, don't we? Well, the instruction, and if you have godly parents, this is wonderful. The instruction you receive from your father and your mother tells us here that that's an ornament of grace. For they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And there are a lot of sinners out there, and they're going to try to entice you. Sinners do that. That's the thing about sinners. They want everyone to be a sinner. If people are reveling in their sin, they want you to sin too. Why? Because if they come across someone who is not sinning, someone who refuses to do what they do, then if they still have a conscience, it starts to work inside them. They start to feel a little bad about it. And you become a conscience to them. So they want you to sin too, so that they can feel better about their sins. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. See how they're trying to entice. Come along with us. Join us. Do what we do. You'll benefit from it. There'll be great riches. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. And make haste to shed blood. Yes, there are feet that run to evil. That was true back here. It's still true to this day. Feet that run to evil, because not only do they do evil, not only do they do sin, but they love it. That's why they run to it. They can't get enough of it. And they want everyone to join them. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Really what they're doing in their rebellion against God is they are destroying themselves. They are destroying themselves. We're going to see that. In fact, we already have. They lurk privily for their own lives. As they do all these things, they're destroying their own lives. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight
and their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
You see, that's what happens when you repent. When you come to the Lord, when you turn at His reproof and repent, and you obey His commands, you're buried in His name in baptism, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then we have that precious gift of salvation. And then we have that precious gift of peace in our hearts. And then we have that safety that comes only from the Lord. He gives us that precious gift. You're never going to really, truly feel the peace of God without His Spirit working in you. That's why it's so important. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. What happens to these people who refuse to turn to the Lord, those who live in rebellion? They are not going to be partakers of God's peace, and they are not going to be partakers of that safety that we find in Him. Verse 26 tells us, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. A day is coming when it will be too late to turn to the Lord. Thankfully, that time is not yet. We still have an opportunity today to turn at His reproof, to repent of our sins. But a day is coming when the door is shut, and it will be too late. It will be too late. So anyone who might be hearing this message, if you have sins that aren't repented of, I would encourage you right now to get rid of them. Cry out to God and turn at His reproof and let Him pour out His Spirit upon you. For those who refuse, there are dire consequences. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Their own evil devices are going to destroy them. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Hearken to the Lord, turn at His reproof, seek Him with a whole heart, repent of your sins, and when you do that, you can dwell safely. Dwell safely. And shall be quiet from fear of evil. You don't have to be afraid. Even though there are so many things in this world, so many bad things that happen, you don't have to be afraid. Because we can dwell with God in His Spirit. And we can be quiet from the fear of evil. We don't need it. In fact, in the Scriptures, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 tells us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. When you turn to the Lord, He gives you His love, and that is how you overcome all fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 tells us, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are some people, they have a lot of fear, afraid of so many things. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God can deliver you from that.
Amen.
He can deliver you from all fear. And when He does that, you will feel His peace and you will feel safe in Him. Praise God. We serve a God without limitations. We serve a God who is sovereign. We serve a God who can do all things. We serve a God who, when He speaks, the creation obeys. And knowing that means we have nothing to be afraid of. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to go down to verse 35 in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read one of the wonderful things that Jesus did for His disciples, even as they were struggling to cope with their own fears. There was a time, there was a moment when they were on the sea in a boat and they thought that they were goners because there was such a great storm. Now, something about storms we should realize is sometimes God sends storms. Sometimes storms are just a natural part of the weather, and sometimes the devil will try to stir up storms too to prevent something from happening. But remember something, when the devil tries that, God is sovereign. And He can put a stop to those storms. I know a lot of people are afraid of all that weather manipulation going on out there, and it does happen. But you don't have to be afraid of it, because we serve Almighty God who can calm all storms. Mark 4, beginning with verse 35, tells us, "And the same day, when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." That sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? But they had nothing to fear because they had the Creator of the universe on board. He was wearing a body. But they were with the One who could just speak the words and that storm would be calmed. Verse 38. "And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish?" Of course He cared for His disciples, but He also knew that they weren't going to perish. Praise God, it may have looked bad. That storm may have looked like a bad one. It may have looked awful. But Jesus was there. And Jesus, He was perfectly calm. He was asleep on a pillow during the whole thing. So they asked Him, "Master, carest Thou not that we perish?" And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Just like that. That storm was gone. All He had to do was speak the words, "Peace, be still." And on those days when it feels like you have a storm in your own mind, and you can't stop worrying, and you're struggling, and there's a storm happening in your brain, seek the Lord and let Him speak those words in your heart, "Peace, be still." And in Him you can find that comfort, and you can find that peace that you need. Verse 40, "And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" See, faith in God and the love of God, those are how we counteract all fear. When you are secure in the Lord and trusting in Him, you don't have to be afraid. Even though we live in a world that is filled with storms, filled with problems, filled with dangers and toils and snares, you don't have to be afraid. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, that's because he was not just a man. That was Almighty God, the creator of the universe, wearing a body, the one who spoke this universe into existence. And the creation obeys his voice every time. In the Lord we find peace. In the Lord we find safety. There are people who want peace and they want safety, but you cannot have peace in this world if you reject the Prince of Peace. In closing, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Oh my, it's gotten better.
Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord still cometh as a thief in the night. And yes, the Lord is still coming back. But when he does, one thing we know about it is that very few people will be looking for him anymore. There won't be a lot of people waiting for the Lord. In fact, he is going to come at a moment when no one is expecting it. Of course, God's people will still be watching and waiting. But it's still going to be a surprise. Thankfully for God's people, it's going to be a wonderful, pleasant surprise. The best surprise ever. But for those who do not know the Lord, it will be truly a horrendous surprise. All of these defiant people who refuse to believe the Lord is coming back, they are going to be in for the surprise of their lives. Because the Lord is coming. He's coming as a thief in the night. In other words, he's coming unannounced. But he is coming. Verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, in this world they're doing all these things to try to set up peace. And when you have people who say, we need safety, we need safety, we need safety, they're going to try to set up a system that they think will bring that about. But it's not going to. Just when they think they've finally got it all together, when they think they've got everything in place, and they think they're close now, I have to say, but they think they've got it all set, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Why? Because their peace and safety is artificial. It is of this world. It's not the real thing. It's not genuine, because peace and safety comes only from God. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And that is not talking about sleeping physically. That's talking about spiritually. There are some people out there in the world today, they are sleepwalking. They are spiritual zombies. But that doesn't have to be us. It tells us in verse 7, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. They're completely oblivious to the things that are happening in this world behind the scenes. They're completely oblivious that there's a devil at work. They see all these bad things happening and they say, well, that's just the way it is. That's the world we live in. But they fail to realize the cause of it, that there's a devil causing those problems, causing that strife, causing that wickedness. Walking around in darkness, stumbling about, sleepwalking. But that doesn't have to be us. Verse 8, but let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath,
but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And there, when it says sleep, it's referring to when someone who belongs to the Lord leaves this earth, our body sleeps. That doesn't mean our soul sleeps. I don't believe in soul sleep because the scriptures tell us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which means you're actually no longer in your body when you're present with the Lord in soul. Now, eventually, you will be reunited with your body and it will be transformed into a spiritual body. But until that time comes, when we leave this earth, what the world calls dying, we know that God's people never die, but what happens there, our body sleeps. Praise God. Verse 10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And edify means to build up. That's one of the functions of the church. We build one another up. We are a family, and we build one another up. We don't tear one another down. That should never, ever happen in a church. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And when God gives you his peace, you can be at peace with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That can be hard sometimes, to be patient toward people, but we need to be. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. There are some churches where they don't like movement of the Spirit. They don't like it when God's Spirit moves because they think it's too disruptive. But we don't do that here because we do not want to quench the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast. Get a firm grip on it. All that is good. All that comes from God. Get a firm grip on this book. Praise the Lord. Never let it go. Get a firm grip on your God. Never let him go. Praise the Lord. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's how we get the peace of God, for he is the God of peace for his people. If you want peace and safety, there's only one way to turn, and that is the one way to salvation. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Thankfully, we know where we can turn for our peace and safety. The peace and safety they want to set up in this world and establish is going to utterly fail. There will be sudden destruction. Why? Because they do not know the God of peace. Thankfully, I believe all of us who are here today do know that God of peace. So when you're feeling overwhelmed by all the things happening in this world, just remember the one who promised us peace.
peace and safety. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee for Thy mercy. We thank Thee for the peace that Thou hast put in our hearts, and we thank Thee for all the times Thou hast kept us safe. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy protection. We thank Thee for Thy hand, which has strengthened us. For we know, O God, that we could not be here today without Thy mercy and Thy grace. We pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead us by Thy mighty hand. Help us always to be faithful to Thee and to be obedient to Thee. Help us to rejoice in Thee, to follow Thee, O God, in all that Thou would have us to do. Help us to walk with Thee day and night, to be obedient to Thy will. Help us to walk with Thee for the entirety of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing a chorus in closing. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 55 in the chorus book and sing Safe Am I. Number 55. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Sheltered o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe of me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Sheltered o'er, sheltered o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe will me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the power of His hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the power of His hand. Sheltered o'er, sheltered o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe will me, for He keeps day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Thank You. Praise God. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.